Father, we thank you for music. We thank you for the opportunity we have just to worship you, that you have put together ways that we can make sounds and words that fit together rhythmically, and that we can take the time just to give you glory in music. And so, Father, as we transition to this time of worshiping you through your word, again, would you continue to open up our hearts? Would you continue to soften us and allow us just to grow closer to you? And again, just continue to allow us to engage fully with you here, to be present with you. God, would you continue just to remove the distractions from our lives, to take away what we're thinking about for what needs to be done later today or later this week? Would you allow us just to be here with you, to be present, and again, just to embrace your Holy Spirit at this moment, God? So again, as we continue to dive into your word, would you just work within us and just continue to pour out your grace upon us? So we do these and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you rather? It's a popular icebreaker, and it's always a fun game. It's one that continues to grow, evolve, and change every single day because it's so flexible, and it just gives you the complete freedom to put any two choices against each other. And I remember when I was at Bucky's, we would play this from time to time just to help the time pass. And if you do Google search, you can find that there are all kinds of pre-made would-you-rather questions. And here are just a couple that I found that I liked. So, would you rather live without the internet or live without air conditioning? Would you rather know 10 minutes into your future or 10 minutes into the future of other people? Would you rather be able to fly or breathe underwater? And then the last one I found was, would you rather live on a beach house or a cabin in the woods? See, the thing that makes a good would you rather question is that both options need to be equal, both equally good or both equally bad. If one favors more than the other, it makes the choice significantly easier, and that defeats the whole purpose of would you rather. You want good discussion. You want there to be no true right answer. See, the problem that has arisen in our culture now, though, is that we've played would you rather with the church. The question that we're asking is, would you rather be a seeker-friendly church or a discipleship-driven church? And the problem with asking that question is that the answer should really be yes. We should be doing both. You see, we're continuing our series today fresh as we look to gain a change in perspective for the things in our lives and the things happening in our church. And today, we're going to specifically look at the church. And hopefully at the end of this, we'll have a better idea of what the purpose of the church really is. So the first thing I want to do is dive into the two major views that people currently have, whether being a seeker-friendly church or being discipleship-driven. And as I mentioned, what makes a good would-you-rather question, that applies here as well. Both of these views are equally good, but they're very distinctly different, and there's no way that you can do them both at the same time. Whichever one you choose, that will be the focus of your church. So let's start with looking at the seeker-friendly church. This view puts the purpose of the church to be predominantly on evangelism. In other words, the church is here to bring more people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And to do so, a seeker-friendly church will focus on things that make unbelievers feel welcome and comfortable. When you walk into a church like this, you can just feel the energy, right? It's one of those places that the people there are friendly. The music is exciting. The pastor's engaging. The church space is welcoming. Everything about the church is crafted in a way that's to draw you in. But it's in their pursuit of being seeker-friendly that they take out things that could offend visitors as well. See, I've heard of some churches removing the cross, taking out communion, or I've even heard of some of them bringing in things like secular songs. They'll play as part of the worship set to engage visitors. This view here argues that the more that we can think and relate towards unbelievers, the better that we can draw them towards a relationship with Jesus Christ. Think of this view like your friend's house that you go and visit, and their parents are always like, hey, eat more food, or stay as long as you want, or hey, do you want to sleep over? Just make sure it's cool with your parents, right? It's that type of attitude and that kind of idea that a seeker-friendly church kind of implements. Now, on the opposite side, we have churches that are discipleship-driven. And this view puts the purpose of the church to be predominantly on making the members of the church into stronger, deeper, and more mature followers of Jesus Christ. Their churches will have more programs about how to learn about the Bible. Their pastors will rarely do topical studies, but predominantly go verse by verse in a book of the Bible. Sunday schools will have classes like church history or New Testament survey or things of that nature. But in their pursuit to develop disciples, many visitors often feel intimidated or even overwhelmed by the amount of content thrown at them. Similar to the seeker-friendly church, they have certain targeted programs to bring visitors in, but their primary drive is centered and focused around developing mature believers. See, this view argues that the more mature of a disciple that the church can raise up, then the more that they'll impact their community or their workplace, and they'll bring in other people who want to be better disciples themselves. Think of this view like Yoda, right? Luke had tons of respect for Yoda and how Yoda trained him and raised him up and everything, but even from the beginning, Yoda was testing Luke to see if he was worthy. He wasn't bringing him in asking if he wanted milk and cookies or anything like that. Now, in both of these summaries, know that they are on the stereotypes of them. They're on the far heavy ends of both of them. And keep in mind that both of these views look towards the Bible as the primary reason why they do what they do. They're not practicing heresy. They're not leading people astray. They both have very different views on the purpose of the church, but they both do them to the glory of God. But as I said earlier, I think the answer to would you rather with both of these views is really yes. I don't think it's one view is greater than the other. It needs to be both of these views together and more. For us here at West Houston, I want us to see the purpose of our church divided into three main parts. We're to worship God, to edify his people, and evangelize the world. So the first reason why we gather here right now, the reason why we're watching this live stream, the reason why, God willing, one day, sooner than later, we can get out of our houses, get together in our building, and glorify God, is that we can worship God for all that he is. And if you're asking, well, why do we need to worship God? Let me read Psalms 146 for us. This is a psalm written by King David, and I'll be starting in verse 5. Blessed is he who help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free, and the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widows and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. King David points us to worship the Creator. Right? It's the same idea that if you were to go into somebody's house and see how nice and clean their place is, you don't think like, wow, this house cleaned itself. No, you praise the one who cleaned it. You say, wow, you did a great job cleaning. We don't worship the things here on earth. We worship the one who created the earth. The second part of our purpose of the church is to edify his people. See, part of why I enjoy getting together on Sundays with all of you is that we get an opportunity to catch up and encourage one another. I get to hear what's happening in your life, and you get to hear what's happening in mine. And right now, all I have is this camera in front of me, and it's not great at conversation. It just looks at me kind of judgingly. But the author of Hebrews writes in chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, he says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The author here tells us that it's important for us to meet together in person so that we can encourage one another. And part of encouraging one another is also to correct and to discipline one another. There's a story I found of a teacher who did an exercise with her high school class. She told all of her class to write down every single person's name in the room, and after each name, leave a short space. And then she told the whole class to write something nice about each person in the space below. Afterwards, she collected up all the papers, and she took them home, and on a fresh sheet, she wrote each student's name down and compiled a list of all the things that all the other students had said. When she came back to school and handed back the students their papers, she heard comments like, "Wow, I didn't realize people thought this about me," or like, "I didn't realize that that was a good thing that I was doing." But then that was basically all she had heard of it afterwards. And then several years later, one of the students in her class was killed in the line of duty. and the teacher, along with many of the other classmates, they attended the funeral together. The parents came to the teacher afterwards and told the teacher that what he was found in his wallet was a note. It was a note that was torn and taped back together many times from being folded and unfolded, that it just worn itself out. And instantly the teacher knew that this was the note that she gave to him. The parents thanked her for doing this because their son truly treasured this list and it motivated him every single day. See, this should be part of our role as the church, to come alongside one another and to continue to encourage each other, to build one another up, because more often than not, we tear ourselves down and we need the help of those around us to put ourselves back together again. And ultimately, the goal of encouraging and building one another up is that we can together become more and more like Christ. The third and final part of our church purpose is ultimately to evangelize the world. From multiple Christian authors, you'll hear this concept that a healthy church is one that evangelizes. As we get together with other followers of Jesus Christ and we praise and worship him and we encourage and edify one another, this should motivate us to go forth and tell other people about who Jesus is. That when you experience something as life-changing as the Savior of the world, that when we get together and we're encouraged and discipled alongside of fellow believers, our natural response is to go out and tell others to join us. The problem is there's a study from Barna that shows that in February of 2009, they surveyed and found that 47% of millennials felt like it was wrong to share their beliefs with somebody in the hopes that they would change and share the same faith. In other words, 47% of Christians born between 1981 and 1996 believe that it's wrong to evangelize. And when you dive into the research, you see that it stems from this belief that disagreement equals intolerance. In other words, that if I were to share my belief with somebody who has a different view than mine, that would seem like I was judgmental and telling them that they were the worst person. I think the issue here stems from how we often see evangelism. I think because of our current culture and how movies and TVs do things, when we hear the word evangelism, we think of people yelling condemnation. If ye not turn away from thine sin, then thou shalt burn in hell for all eternity. Right, that's the kind of thing we think of when we hear, oh, you should go evangelize. It's yelling condemnation at people. When the truth and reality of it is that evangelism is simply having a conversation. One thing that I'm trying to do more of while I'm walking around the hospital at work is to be more intentional with the way that I respond to things. Then when people ask me how I'm doing, I'm trying to say, I'm blessed. Or if they ask me, what am I looking forward to this weekend? I tell them what I'm doing, but ultimately I'm looking forward to going to church, to being here with you. My intention here is that in mentioning my walk with Jesus Christ, it makes them enter into a conversation easier, right? That they don't feel as pressured, or they may even feel curious as to, well, why do you believe what you believe? And if not, then at least it makes it open for me to ask them, why do you believe what you believe? So at the end of this message, what do we do, right? If our purpose in church is to worship God, to edify his people, and to evangelize the world, what do we do? Well, first thing is we take this time to glorify God, right? That God's church has never been restricted to the building, right? That God's church has and always will be the people. So when we gather together on these Sunday mornings, whether we're online like we are right now or next week, however that looks like, or if we're in person, whenever that is in the future, don't take this time for granted. Don't think of this as just another Sunday, but think of this as the time that you get to spend with God, the Creator. That we can mute our phones for a few minutes, that we can put away our work projects, and we can just spend this moment focused and spending time in God's presence. The second thing that we can look at here is that we can engage. That even though we're in this online setting and we're separated by miles and computer screens and everything like that, that we can still engage with one another. That we can dive into the chat and say good morning and just ask how people are doing. That we can text our other members and we can ask them how we can pray for them, or we can let them know how they can pray for us. And then finally, think about one person who needs to know about God from you specifically. Who is one person in your life, specifically in your life, that may not be in the life of somebody else, that you can go and tell them about what Jesus has done for you? And how you can be the person who brings them to know of what Jesus can do for them. And then from there, pray that God would open up their hearts. Pray that God would give you courage to have that conversation, to start that conversation. So my last would you rather question for us here today, and this is really the only one that matters when it comes to the church. Would you rather be known by your church, or would you rather be known by Jesus Christ? Because see, while it's important that we know what the purpose of the church is, what's more important is that the people know you not as just a member of West Houston, but as a follower of Christ. This church here has been blessed in that we have just celebrated our 30th anniversary not too long ago. But even if this church went away tomorrow, the church that is made up of the followers of Jesus Christ never goes away. So while we may identify as members of West Houston here, we all have permanent residence in God's kingdom. And if you're a visitor or you just happen to click on this video again, if YouTube brought you here randomly in the future, then know that there is room for you still. That Jesus told us that he went and he prepared a place for each person who puts their faith in him. And all it takes is for you to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, for all of our sins, and that in his resurrection, he brings us life. Not just life here on this planet, but life eternal, one forever, one with him in heaven. And if this is you, if you've made that decision, if you've decided to pursue that, would you reach out to us? Would you allow us to connect with you? Our email is in the description below. We'd love to come alongside you, to encourage you, to edify you, to be part of the journey that helps build you up. See, so I hope and pray that this message has at least communicated that to you, that our church is here to worship God, to encourage and edify and build each other up, and to evangelize the world. But ultimately, that our purpose individually is to be known as Christ followers. That we understand the purpose of why we gather here at the church, but we know that our purpose is found in God. So let me pray. Father, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we have just to, again, to challenge our perspectives, to challenge the way that we've been thinking of things or doing things, and that we continue to look towards your Holy Spirit, to look towards how you're guiding us, to be not just better people, but to be better Christ followers. And so, Father, I pray that would you work in our hearts, would you continue to motivate us and move us? Would you continue to allow us to be bold in your name, to continue to go forward and tell people of who it is that you are and how you've changed our lives and how you can change theirs? And again, Father, we pray that as we enter into this time, as we're enduring, whether it be massive torrential storms that are raining outside or whether we're still just trying to figure out everything happening with COVID, would you just continue to allow your grace to rain upon us? That we don't understand everything that's happening, but we know that you are good and that you are sovereign. And again, that you have a plan for us. And so would you continue to keep us in your grace, to keep us in your comfort. And again, just allow us to glorify you, to worship you, to encourage one another. And ultimately, again, just to proclaim your goodness to the rest of the world. And we do these and we pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen.